Glad I'm standing on the rock. Amen. Man, appreciate that, Brother Schuler. Good stuff. Well, you thought Brother Wiggins was preaching tonight, but I'm preaching. So turn to Psalm 27. Brother Wiggins will start next Wednesday night. Nope, we have a special speaker next Wednesday night. So it'll be about 3 weeks from now. Because next Wednesday night we have a man coming who is starting a deaf church. And it's going to be a unique thing. I hope you'll be here next Wednesday night. And then the next Wednesday night is Missions Conference. And Brother Eddie Johnson will be here. Brother Johnson, of course, being our home pastor. And looking forward to him preaching for us Sunday through Wednesday night. And then Brother Wiggins will start. And he'll preach for 4 weeks after that. So tonight we are going to start the next section of the Attributes of God. So we've preached on the genuineness of God, or those things that pertain to God, and the greatness of God. And then tonight we'll begin portion of the attributes of God called the goodness of God, or the goodness of God, the moral attributes, if you would, of God. And so again, we're not here to play mental gymnastics with the attributes. We've really tried hard to not only give you the attributes, but their application. And it's so important that what we think of God, what we think of God is the most important thing about us, A.W. Tozer said. What we think about Him impacts every area of our life. How we handle trials, how we handle the good times as well, it impacts everything about us. We have a tendency as human beings, because we're finite and selfish by nature, to shape God into our own fashion, to shape God into our own image. And so, again, God is not a middle-aged, suburban, that's not what God is. God is a great God. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is present everywhere. God is transcendent. He is wholly other. God is immutable. He never changes. And God is triune. And you can go on and on and on. We've studied so many of them. But we serve a great God. Psalm 27, look with me in verse 11. Says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Now this is David, a psalm of David, so keep that in mind. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What did he say? He said, I would have quit. I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm glad for the goodness of God. I'm glad for the goodness of God. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Tonight we're going to talk about the goodness of God. This is a simple subject, and we're going to dismiss early because of Master Club wants us to come up, all those who are parents and grandparents, to have a little open house tonight. So we're going to end at 50 after. And so we'll meet over in the Victor classroom. And so I think it'd be important for some of you to see what Master Club, what they're doing. And I think it's important for us to see the ministry and understand that what's going on. And I think that will help in that. So we're gonna come along here pretty fast. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray, Lord, that you would again show us, reveal yourself to us as you want to, in just a clear way tonight. As we present you as good and faithful, we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. As I sat studying today, I thought again about when Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, I count all things but loss. Remember what he said? That I might know him. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. But he said that I might know him. In fact, he said, I count all things but dung, like refuse, like sewer, when it compares to knowing God. That's something, isn't it? That Paul wanted to know God more than he wanted riches or wealth or fame, and he wanted to know God. As we think about David, David said, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. David wanted to know God more. David wanted to know God better. I think that's what we all should strive to want to know. Know God more. Know God better. Because in doing so, it impacts our life on a daily basis. The greater we understand who God truly is, the greater it'll impact our lives and what we go through and what we face. The genuineness and greatness of God, and tonight again the goodness of God, or His moral perfection. His moral perfection. In other words, the goodness of God pertains to His love and to His holiness. And many of these things which we'll follow up here in the next few weeks after Brother Wiggins does his thing. By the way, I understand he called my wife something Sunday. Yeah, I got a few emails on that. It'll be all right. Yeah. What he was trying to say was my wife grew up very poor. She grew up in a poor neighborhood. She grew up. He was trying to say that, you know, we all come from various things in life. Anyway, good times. Let's move on. God is good. God is good. Let me just give you a few quotes. And listen, we could have quoted Scripture literally for the next 30 minutes or so just on verses that speak of the goodness and faithfulness of God. Psalm 31, verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness." Psalm 33, verse 5 says, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Think about that. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 52, verse 1 says, "The goodness of God endureth continually." Psalm 109 or 107 verse 8 says, "Oh, that men should praise the Lord for His goodness." Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says, "Despisest this His goodness." It talks about them despising His goodness. That those who reject God and those who would say there is no God despise His goodness. The goodness of God, the Bible says in Romans 2, leadeth to repentance. I'm glad for the goodness of God. He brought me salvation. Right? 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, "For His goodness," or talks about His goodness. Matthew 9:17 says, "There is none good but God." Remember that? When the ruler came to him, the rich young ruler came to him and said, what do I do, good master? He says, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." Psalm 89, and I'm going to go over there and read that one. Turn to Psalm 89. It's a good one. Some of y'all remember this one. You can actually sing it. I sang it as a kid. Psalm 89, verse 1 says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." Faithfulness. "Will I make known thy faithfulness?" And the little chorus goes, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." How many of y'all learned that in Sunday school? I did. Years and years ago. "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With thy mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness shall be established in the very heavens." Lamentations 3:22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Isn't that awesome? "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They," speaking of His compassions, "are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." God is great in His faithfulness. God's faithfulness is great. Man, we serve a great God. God's goodness. Let's give you a little definition. The goodness of God. This is A.W. Tozer's definition. It says, "What bestows upon Him to be kind, cordial, benevolent, and full of goodwill toward men. He is tenderhearted and of quick sympathy. And His unfailing attitude toward all moral beings is open, frank, and friendly." There's your big, long definition. God is good. God is good. It is who He is. It is not, you know, merely a part of Him. It's who He is. He is good. God's goodness is taught or implied all throughout the Scripture. Every page, it is either taught or implied that God is good. It is seen by all of us on a daily basis that God is good. God's been so good. He's good all the time, by the way. He's good. His goodness is the foundation of all His gracious acts. So when God is acting, whether it's love or holiness or His mercy and His grace, all of these are built upon the foundation of His goodness, that He is good, that He is kind, that He is tender-hearted, that He is sympathetic towards us, that His attitude toward us is frank and friendly and open. God is good. And again, that's built the other, if you would, His other acts or His acts of mercy, grace, love, justice, truth, and you can name several others, are all built upon the foundation that He is good. That He's altogether good. He is immutable, therefore, He will never be less kind or more kind. So you think about His goodness, He'll never be less good or more good. Anybody with me? God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And on that basis, too, because He is kind, He'll never be more kind or less kind. God is no respecter of persons. He loves everyone. Rich or poor, black or white, all precious in His sight. God is no respecter of persons. The Bible says He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. That means He loves and is kind to those who are lost and those who are saved. Boy, that's something, isn't it? God is a gracious, kind God, but being unchangeable means that He will never change in His goodness towards us. We change. Our goodness towards others and what we do and how we feel towards others will change, but God never changes. Just a thought, too. Prayer doesn't earn God's favor. He hears because He's good. In other words, just because we're praying to Him does not in any way obligate Him to hear us. He hears us because He is good, because He's kind, He's tender-hearted, and He is kind and tender-hearted towards us. That's a great God. In spite of us, in spite of our downsettings and our failings, God is kind and gracious towards us. So don't think because we do something for Him, whether it's prayer or witnessing or giving or whatever, we're not earning His favor. His favor is given to us freely. That's grace. And therefore, His goodness is not earned, it's given. Because He is in and of Himself good. Unlike us, we are not in and of ourselves good. Now, thank God for the new nature that enables us to be good, but in and of ourselves, we are not good. But God is always good. I love this one. Faith is simply confidence in the goodness of God. You can think about that one for a little bit. Faith is simply confidence in the goodness of God. And a lack of faith is a lack of confidence in His goodness. In other words, if He is kind, tender-hearted, and toward us, frank, open, all those things, and He never changes, then no matter what circumstance we go through or what we face, whether good or bad, we know that it's always going to be good. Because that's what everybody with me? And we can go to Romans 2, 8:28 and all those things, but you can just see that. So to deny faith in what He has promised to do is to deny His goodness. We'll go over that more in a minute. Maybe that has more impact on me than it does on you. I'm not conveying it enough or thoroughly enough or good enough. In other words, if we understand His goodness, it'll be life-changing. Here's why. When we wake up in the morning and we walk outside, we literally are looking up at friendly skies. God is not out to get us. Amen. God is not Zeus. And I've said this from the pulpit many times. God is not up there with a lightning bolt just waiting for you to slip up so He can bam and knock you out. That's not God. When you step out of bed, when you step out, and I'm doing this for illustration for effect, we know God can see inside the house, but when you step out your house, the friendly skies. No matter what that airline says, frying the friendly skies, I'm telling you, it's the friendly skies all the time. God desires to be our friend. I preached that before on Friend Day 100 times. God desires that. God desires that relationship with us. God is friendly towards us. He wants the best for us. He's our Heavenly Father. And if everyone would understand that, that God is eager to be our friend, that we are looking up at friendly skies, it would change a lot of lives in the world today. Here's a pretty good illustration. This is one that A.W. Tozer gave. As we think about God being good and our inability to really comprehend this in this particular way, think about this for a second. Sin has made us timid and fearful. So that when we approach God, so when we approach God and we're praying to Him, we have a tendency to be timid and fearful. Why? Because of our sin. Because of our sin. So when we kneel down, when we're praying, we're trying to get close to God or whatever, sometimes, a lot of times, we are fearful and timid, and we don't come boldly before the throne of grace because there is sin in our life. So when somebody approaches a king, let's say you were going to approach the king of England, we know there's no king right now, but the queen of England, you're going to approach the king, or you're approaching a king, no matter who it was or who it is, you would approach in a way that would be timid and fearful. Everybody with me? You would. Because the anxiety would set in, right? I don't know about you, but I'd be a little nervous, a little fearful, a little timid until, you know, such as He set me at ease or whatever the case is, right? So when we come before God and He says, He has forgiven our sins and thrown them as far as the east is from the west. And we come to Him, we kneel to Him, and we bow before Him and we pray. Should we be timid and fearful? No. Because when I kneel to Him and I pray to Him, He has forgotten and forgiven my sins. And I don't need to be timid and fearful. Because the God, that the King that I am humbling myself to, is good. Whereas a human king, I may kneel to him and he may whack my head off, or whatever the case is. I may over exaggerating, but you know what I'm saying. God would not do that because God is good. And then if you take all the rest of the goodness of God, his just, that he's just, that he's fair, that he's loving, and that he's kind, and that he's graceful, and that he's merciful, and he's truthful, and he's holy, and you take these, which we're going to study these later down the road, then you shouldn't approach God in a timid fashion or a fearful fashion. Come boldly before the throne of grace. That does not mean we shouldn't worship him and humble ourselves in a humble, broken, and contrite spirit, right? We learned that during the revival. Everybody spread a little Jesus on people this week? That comes to me all the time. But we should come to Him humbly. We should come to Him with a contrite heart. We should come with Him broken. But we shouldn't come to Him fearful. There is a difference. We ought to be careful because God is good and God is forgiving and God is a loving God. And unlike an earthly king who may not forgive us or who may not be kind, God is always good. Always good. What is God like in His goodness? How can we best describe the goodness of God? Through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible said He went about doing good, right? We had a whole year of studying that. There in Galatians, right? Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Remember that? And so, God, Jesus Christ and God, by the way, Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And we know that God expresses Himself, or God displays Himself, or God reveals Himself through creation, through the Word of God, and through His Son. So when we think about the goodness of God, it would be good to think about how good Jesus was. And how He reacted to certain people. For instance, to the Pharisee, He was cold and aloof. Because they were hypocrites. But to those who came to Him contrite and humble, He was generous and kind. Amen? He was good. So again, goodness does not outweigh His justice for those who would be like the Pharisee. But we should come to God as a prodigal son did, humbly, repentive. And come to Him and the Father will receive us. The greatness of God... and then we're going to move on. The greatness of God rouses fears within us, but the goodness encourages us not to take or be afraid of Him. So the greatness of God, that He is all-powerful, all-knowing, that He is present everywhere, that He is transcendent, that He is sovereign, that He is immutable, that He is all those genuineness of God and the greatness of God would make us fearful until we see and understand the goodness of God. That though God is all of these things, that He is beyond our comprehension, that He is the triune God, that the universe cannot contain Him, and yet He is good, kind-hearted, loving, and gracious towards us. God is not only good, but He's faithful in His immutability. In other words, He cannot change us, therefore He has to be faithful. He cannot change, therefore He cannot be unfaithful. Right? Men can be unfaithful. We can be unfaithful because we fear outside sources. We are weak. In other words, outside sources can make us fearful and weak, but see, outside sources don't make God fear or weak. He doesn't fear anything. He's God. He's not weak. No, nothing makes Him weak. He is God. So therefore, He is not influenced from without. God is not fazed by forces from without. God is the God of all things. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all those things. And God is not fazed by anything. Faithful in His love. Faithful in His justice. Faithful in His mercies. Faithful in His graciousness. Faithful in His goodness. Faithful in His holiness. God is faithful in everything. God can never be unfaithful, or He would not be immutable. Therefore, He has to keep His promises. I know Hebrews tells us that God cannot lie. We've already talked about that some. God can't lie. He can't be unfaithful. He has to fulfill everything He's said. By the way, what has happened in many churches today is in our day and age which we live, is that some of God's attributes have been overemphasized, like His love, to the detriment of His other attributes. But can I tell you that God is a God of love, but He's also a just God. He is a God of judgment. And He will judge. He is a loving and gracious God. But you do reap what you sow. Yes, God loves us unconditionally, and our doings and our works do not gain favor with Him. But understand what we do and what we say and how we live impacts the way in which God treats us and the way in which God blesses us or the way in which God disciplines us. His love and His justice go together. And it's hard for us. It's almost a paradox. We think, well, they can't match up. Yes, they do, because all of His attributes work together. And you can't have one without the other. For God to be a God of love, He has to be a God of justice. Or else that wouldn't be fair. That's what justice means, just. It wouldn't be fair, right? God is a God of love, but yes, He is a God of love, but He's also a just God. So we need to be careful. A lot of heresy going around. Yes, God's a God of love, but He's also a just God. And maybe sometimes even our Baptist circles, we kind of sometimes emphasize the love more than we emphasize His other attributes. We need to be careful about that. God is faithful in His love, and God is faithful in justice. He is equal in all His attributes. He is not a divided God, but equal in all His attributes. He is faithful. In fact, Revelation tells us when He comes back that one of the names of which He'll be called is faithful and true. During that time of the Armageddon when He defeats all of everybody, woohoo! Faithful and true. Christ's return. His faithfulness brings peace. It brings assurance of heaven. It brings us comfort in knowing that God is faithful, that He always, always keeps His promises. Great is Thy faithfulness, right? It's a great song, isn't it? That song is in your hymn book. It says, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father." Notice the words. "There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not, as Thou hast been and forever wilt be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Listen to this. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine at his faithfulness, and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. It's great stuff, isn't it? Mornings by mornings, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. I don't know about you, but he's been faithful to me, hasn't he? Been faithful to you. We serve a great God. And when we're tempted, when we're tested, when we're discouraged, his faithfulness brings hope. That no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, that he's faithful in all things. God is good, and he's good all the time. All the time. He always has our best interest in mind. And just as we always have our best interest in mind of our children, so does our Heavenly Father have his best interest for us in mind in everything he does. He's always good. And God is faithful because he's unchanging. So presupposes his unchangingness, presupposes his faithfulness. Because if he's unchanging, he can't be unfaithful. God is a faithful God. He keeps his word every time. Let's all stand. Reverse invitation. God is a great God, a good God, God of mercy and grace, of love, holiness, justice, truth, wisdom. He's a sovereign God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight again as we got just a small glimpse of who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed to us your goodness and faithfulness in your word, as well as the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we see even the example in creation, that every morning the sun comes up, every evening the sun goes down. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.